food sitting on a restaurant counter, none will usually be passed up by the refuse-not-eater. Most of the time, however, refuse-not-eaters are not aware that they are eating, or how much they are eating. For example, the refuse-not-eater may pluck up a couple of candies on the way to the restroom without being aware of it. Social outings that revolve around food, such as cocktail parties and holiday buffets, are especially tough for the refuse-not-eater. The waste-not-unconscious eater values the food dollar. His or her eating drive is often influenced by getting as much as they can for the money. The waste-not-eater is especially inclined to clean the plate, and others as well. It's not unusual for a waste-not-eater to eat the leftovers from children or spouse. The emotional unconscious eater uses food to cope with emotions, especially uncomfortable emotions such as stress, anger, and loneliness. While emotional eaters view their eating as the problem, it's often a symptom of a deeper issue. Eating behaviors of the emotional eater can range from grabbing a candy bar in stressful times to chronic compulsive binges of vast quantities of food. The problem. Unconscious eating in its various forms is a problem if it results in chronic overeating, which can easily occur when you are eating and not quite aware of it. Keep in mind that somewhere between the first and last bite of food is where the lapse of consciousness takes place, as in, oh, it's all gone. For example, have you ever bought a large box of candy at the movies and begun to eat it, only to discover your fingers suddenly scraping the bottom of the empty box? That's a simple form of unconscious eating. But unconscious eating can also exist at an intense level, in a somewhat altered state of eating. In this case, the person is not aware of what is being eaten, why he started eating, or even how the food tastes. This is zoning out with food. When your eating personality works against you, eventually the eating styles of the careful eater, the professional dieter, and the unconscious eater become an ineffective way of eating, even when on the surface they appear okay. The solution for the frustrated eater? Try harder with a new diet. At first, the new diet seems exhilarating and hopeful, but eventually the familiar pounds return. Dieting gets more difficult. And even when you resume your baseline eating personality, it may feel more uncomfortable than before. This is because with each diet, the inner food rules get stronger. These food rules often perpetuate feelings of guilt about eating, even when you are not officially dieting. Also, the biological effects of dieting, as detailed in Chapter 5, make it increasingly difficult to have a normal relationship with food. The intuitive eater personality, however, is the exception. It is the one eating style that doesn't work against you and can help you end chronic dieting and yo-yo weight fluctuations. Introducing the intuitive eater. Intuitive eaters march to their inner hunger signals and eat whatever they choose without experiencing guilt or an ethical dilemma. The intuitive eater is an unaffected eater. Yet it is increasingly difficult to be an unaffected eater in today's health-conscious society when you consider the bombardment of nutrition, food, and weight messages from commercials, media, and health professionals. When we've described the basic eating traits of the intuitive eater to our clients, it's amazing how often we'll hear the response, "That's how my wife eats," or "That's how my boyfriend eats." When we ask how that person's weight and relationship to food are, the response is, "No problem." Consider toddlers. They are the natural intuitive eaters, virtually free from societal messages about food and body image. Toddlers have an innate wisdom of food, if you don't interfere with it. They don't eat based on dieting rules or health. Yet study after study shows that if you let a toddler eat spontaneously, he will eat what he needs when given free access to food. This is probably the toughest thing for a concerned parent to do, to let go and trust that kids have an innate ability to eat. See Chapter 15 for more information on raising intuitive eaters. A landmark study, led by Leanne Birch, Ph.D., and published in the New England Journal of Medicine, confirmed that preschool-aged children have an innate ability to regulate their eating according to what their bodies need for growth. This holds true even when, meal by meal, the little tyke's eating appears to be a parent's nightmare. Researchers found that at a given meal, caloric intake was highly variable, but it balanced out over time. Yet many parents assume that their young children cannot adequately regulate their food intake. Consequently, parents often adopt coercive strategies in an attempt to ensure that the child consumes a nutritionally adequate diet. But previous research by Birch and her colleagues indicates that such control strategies are counterproductive. Furthermore, Birch notes that parents' attempts to control their child's eating were reported more often by obese adults than by adults of normal weight. Similarly, Duke University psychologist Philip Costanzo, Ph.D., found that excess weight in school-aged children was highly associated with the degree to which parents tried to restrain their children's eating. Even well-meaning parents interfere with intuitive eating. When a parent tries to overrule a child's natural eating cues, the problem gets worse, not better. A parent who feeds a child whenever a hunger signal is heard and who stops feeding when the baby shows that he's had enough can play a powerful role in the initial development of intuitive eating. In fact, groundbreaking work by therapist and dietitian Ellen Satter has shown that if you get the parents of overweight kids to back off and let them eat without parental pressure, the kids will eventually eat less. Why? The child begins to hear and understand his own inner signals of hunger and satiety. The child also knows that he or she will have access to food. According to Satter, children deprived of food in an attempt to be thin become preoccupied with food, afraid they won't get enough to eat, and are prone to overeat when they get the chance. We have found this to be true for adult dieters as well. Only for adults, the intuitive eating process has been buried for a long time, often years and years. Instead of having a parent loosen up the pressure, this loosening of pressure has to come from within and against society's myth of dieting and distorted body worship. Fortunately, we all possess the natural intuitive eating ability. It's just been suppressed, especially by dieting. This book is devoted to showing you how to awaken the intuitive eater within. How your intuitive eater gets buried. As toddlers get a little older, the mixed messages begin to creep in, from the early influences of the Saturday morning food commercial to the well-meaning parent who coaxes his child to clean your plate. The assault does not stop when you are a child. There are several external forces that influence our eating, which can further bury intuitive eating. Dieting. You have already seen the damage that chronic dieting plays, including but not limited to increased binge eating, decreased metabolic rate, increased preoccupation with food, increased feelings of deprivation, increased sense of failure, decreased sense of willpower. This only serves to erode your trust with food and urges you to rely on external sources to guide your eating. A food plan, a diet, the time of day, food rules, and so forth. The more you go to external sources to judge if your eating is in check, the further removed you become from intuitive eating. Intuitive eating relies on your internal cues and signals. Eat healthy or die messages. Messages about eating healthfully are everywhere, from nonprofit health organizations to food companies touting the health benefits of their particular product. The inherent message? What you eat can improve your health. Conversely, take one wrong move, bite, and you're one step closer to the grave. Is this an exaggeration? No. For example, a 1994 press release issued by the Harvard School of Public Health stated that eating trans fatty acids, found in margarine, may cause 30,000 deaths each year in the U.S. from heart disease. That kind of message can easily leave you feeling guilty for eating the wrong kind of food and feeling confused about what you should eat. Magazines and newspapers have also greatly increased their coverage of food and health. One food editor, Joel Cray, of a major metropolitan newspaper, the Orange County Register, California, noted that in a six-year period, 1987 to 1993, his stories on nutrition increased fivefold. Of nearly 800 food stories, 200 were on health-related issues. While there is no doubt that what you eat can have an impact on your health, the exponential media coverage has served as a conduit to building food paranoia in the consumer, especially the dieter. Joe Cray agrees. You open the paper, see a beautiful lead story about cheesecake, and simultaneously another piece on how overeating will make you fat. It puts the reader in conflict. Are we saying that you should ignore the virtues of healthful eating? Of course not. However, when you have a dieting mindset, the barrage of healthy eating messages can make you feel guiltier about the food you choose to eat. Obesity and Health reported a survey on 2,075 adults in Florida that revealed that 45% of adults felt guilty after eating foods they like. Keep in mind that this survey was conducted to reflect typical American demographics. These guilt-by-eating numbers would most likely be much higher if performed on dieters. Women may be especially guilt-ridden. An American Dietetic Association Gallup poll showed that women feel guiltier than men about the food they eat, 44% versus 28%. Could this be because women diet more frequently than men? Or because women are usually the target of health messages and food ads? Consider the number of women's magazines. Women are the key decision makers for the family's health care and are usually the gatekeepers of food and nutrition issues as well. They serve as a prime target. We have found that establishing nutrition or healthy eating as an initial priority in the intuitive eating process is counterproductive. In the beginning, we ignore nutrition because it interferes with the process of relearning how to become an intuitive eater. Nutrition heresy? No. It's possible to respect and honor nutrition. It just can't be the first priority when you've been dieting all your life. Or look at it this way. If you have focused all your attention on nutrition, has it helped? The most nutritious eating plan, absolute, can become embraced as another form of a diet. To get an idea of whether you are already an intuitive eater or where you might need some further work, see Are You an Intuitive Eater? It is adapted from research which defines intuitive eating characteristics. You can recapture intuitive eating, but first you have to get rid of the diet mentality rules that keep the intuitive eater buried. In the next chapter, we will briefly introduce you to the core principles of intuitive eating. The remainder of the book will show you step by step how to become an intuitive eater. Eating style, careful eater. Trigger, fitness and health. Characteristic, appears to be the perfect eater, yet anguishes over each food morsel and its effect on the body. On the surface, this person seems health and fitness oriented. Eating style, unconscious eater. Trigger, eating while doing something else at the same time. Characteristic, this person is often unaware that she or he is eating or how much is being eaten. To sit down and simply eat is often viewed as a waste of time. Eating is usually paired with another activity to be productive. There are many subtypes. Eating style, chaotic, unconscious eater. Trigger, overscheduled life. Characteristic, this person's eating style is haphazard, gulp and go when the food is available. Seems to thrive on tension. Eating style, refuse not unconscious eater. Trigger, presence of food. Characteristic, this person is especially vulnerable to candy jars or food present in meetings or sitting openly on the kitchen counter. Eating style, waste not unconscious eater. Trigger, free food. Characteristic, this person's eating drive is often influenced by the value of the food dollar and is susceptible to all-you-can-eat buffets and free food. Eating style, emotional unconscious eater. Trigger, uncomfortable emotions. Characteristic, stress or uncomfortable feelings trigger eating, especially when alone. Eating style, professional dieter. Trigger, feeling fat. Characteristic, this person is perpetually dieting, often trying the latest commercial diet or diet book. Eating style, intuitive eater. Trigger, biological hunger. Characteristic, this person makes food choices without experiencing guilt or an ethical dilemma, honors hunger, respects fullness, enjoys the pleasure of eating. Are you an intuitive eater? This quiz is adapted from Tracy Tilka's research on intuitive eaters, 2006. It will give you an indication of whether you are an intuitive eater, or perhaps where you might need some further work. Directions. The following statements are grouped into Tilka's three core characteristics of intuitive eaters. Answer yes or no for each statement. If you are unsure of how to respond, consider if the description usually applies to you. Is it mostly yes or no? Unconditional permission to eat. 1. I try to avoid certain foods high in fat, carbs, or kcal. 2. If I am craving a certain food, I don't allow myself to have it. 3. I follow eating rules of diet plans that dictate what, when, and or how to eat. 4. I get mad at myself for eating something unhealthy. 5. I have forbidden foods that I don't allow myself to eat. Eating for emotional rather than physical reasons. 1. I find myself eating when I'm feeling emotional, anxious, sad, depressed, even when I'm not physically hungry. 2. I find myself eating when I am bored, even when I'm not physically hungry. 3. I cannot stop eating when I feel full, not overstuffed. 4. I find myself eating when I am lonely, even when I'm not physically hungry. 5. I use food to help me soothe my negative emotions. 6. I find myself eating when I am stressed, even when I'm not physically hungry. Reliance on internal hunger / satiety cues. 1. I cannot tell when I'm slightly full. 2. I cannot tell when I'm slightly hungry. 3. I do not trust my body to tell me when to eat. 4. I do not trust my body to tell me what to eat. 5. I do not trust my body to tell me how much to eat. 6. When I'm eating, I cannot tell when I am getting full. Scoring. Each yes statement indicates an area that likely needs some work. The section with the greatest amount of yes responses indicates the area that needs the most attention. Chapter 3. Principles of Intuitive Eating, overview. Only when you vow to discard dieting and replace it with a commitment to intuitive eating will you be released from the prison of yo-yo weight fluctuations and food obsessions. In this chapter, you will be introduced to the core principles of intuitive eating, a snapshot of each concept with a case study or two. The most significant achievement of each client mentioned was gaining a healthy relationship with food and their bodies. By following the 10 principles of intuitive eating, you will normalize your relationship with food. A focus on weight loss must be put on the back burner. If your current weight has resulted from being out of touch with your internal wisdom about eating, and as a result of tuning back into this wisdom, weight loss occurs, so be it. If, however, you are already maintaining your set point weight through a process of restricting, overeating, restricting, and so forth, then it is especially important to put weight loss on the back burner. Later in the book, each principle will be discussed in greater detail. You may find it useful to return to this chapter for a quick reference. Principle 1. Reject the diet mentality. Throw out the diet books and magazine articles that offer you the false hope of losing weight quickly, easily, and permanently. Get angry at the lies that have led you to feel as if you were a failure every time a new diet stopped working and you gained back all of the weight. If you allow even one small hope to linger that a new and better diet might be lurking around the corner, it will prevent you from being free to rediscover intuitive eating. James dieted most of his life, starting with the little diets his mother put him on and ending with a liquid protein fast, which gave him his most recent short-lived success. By the time he came to the office, James weighed more than he ever had in his life. He knew he was incapable of ever going on another diet, but felt guilty because he thought he should. Rejecting the diet mentality was a key milestone for James. He discovered that he was not a failure, but that the system of dieting itself created the setup for failure. Today, James is a committed ex-dieter who found his way back through intuitive eating. He no longer feels that he should be on a diet. He is pleased and amazed that his weight has normalized while eating everything he likes. Ironically, James sadly watches his boss go from diet to diet, while truly knowing that dieting is the quickest short circuit to a healthy relationship with food. Principle 2. Honor your hunger. Keep your body biologically fed with adequate energy and carbohydrates. Otherwise, you can trigger a primal drive to overeat. Once you reach the moment of excessive hunger, all intentions of moderate conscious eating are fleeting and irrelevant. Learning to honor this first biological signal sets the stage for rebuilding trust with yourself and food. A critical step to becoming an intuitive eater for Tim, a busy physician, was learning to honor his hunger. Tim dieted all through medical school while trying to keep up with a frenetic schedule, working over 80 hours a week. He felt hungry most of the time, but ignored these signals because he was watching his weight. By mid-afternoon, his eating was out of control, with snack attacks at the vending machine. His weight fluctuated with each dieting attempt and failure. Not surprisingly, he felt low in energy most of the time. Today, Tim has learned to pay attention to his biological signals of hunger and to honor them by taking the time to feed himself. He knows now that if he doesn't listen to his growling stomach and eat breakfast before he leaves for work, he can't concentrate on what his patients are saying during their morning appointments. Tim has learned to honor his hunger. As a result of becoming an intuitive eater, Tim feels full of energy throughout the day. He has ended the cycles of restriction and overeating that plagued him for 20 years, and feels confident that this futile cycle is gone forever. Principle 3. Make peace with food. Call a truce. Stop the food fight. Give yourself unconditional permission to eat. If you tell yourself that you can't or shouldn't have a particular food, it can lead to intense feelings of deprivation that build into uncontrollable cravings and, often, binging. When you finally give in to your forbidden foods, eating will be experienced with such intensity, it usually results in Last Supper overeating and overwhelming guilt. Nancy is a waitress whose battleground was the gourmet restaurant where she worked. This restaurant offered an array of delicious, rich foods. Before becoming an intuitive eater, Nancy would valiantly refrain from all of the tempting foods available at the restaurant. She would leave each night, physically tired and with haunting visions of the foods she thought she shouldn't have. Her restraint was consistent, until making her first appointment. Suddenly, in the week prior to coming in, all she wanted to do was eat. And eat she did. Nancy experienced the Last Supper effect that accompanies intense food deprivation. She had an eating backlash from not allowing herself to touch her favorite foods. Nancy believed any nutritionist would confirm that she had to give up these foods for good and follow a rigid meal plan. She acknowledged feeling scared and angry about her future food loss and automatically went into a phase of overeating, especially of foods that she perceived would be forever forbidden. Now that Nancy is an intuitive eater, she eats whatever appeals to her at the restaurant and elsewhere. She no longer restricts the foods she likes, nor does she overeat and feel guilty. She discovered that some of the foods that looked wonderful didn't even taste good. Nancy has made peace with food and loves the freedom that comes with it. Principle 4. Challenge the food police. Scream a loud no to thoughts in your head that declare you're good for eating under 1,000 calories, or bad because you ate a piece of chocolate cake. The food police monitor the unreasonable rules that dieting has created. The police station is housed deep in your psyche, and its loudspeaker shouts negative barbs, hopeless phrases, and guilt-provoking indictments. Chasing the food police away is a critical step in returning to intuitive eating. As an adolescent, Linda had been a competitive track sprinter and went on to qualify for the Olympic trials. Linda's coach had been a strong influence in her life, and to this day her coach's voice reverberates, "To be competitive, you must diet to get rid of body fat." She can also hear her mother's voice chiming in about which foods are good and bad. Years of weight fluctuations resulted from obeying the monotonous dieting tapes droning in her head. These inner tapes originated from her well-meaning coach and numerous diets, only to be reinforced with negative messages that her mother doled out. Linda's food police strengthened with each diet, each coachly admonishment, and motherly chastisement. Linda's breakthrough came when she discovered how to challenge the food police. Linda learned to talk back to the inner critical voices that tried to restrict her food choices. She learned to give herself nurturing messages and make non-judgmental decisions about her eating. The voice of the intuitive eater was allowed to reemerge once the food police were silenced. Linda is guilt-free about her eating, and her weight has stabilized at its natural level without dieting. Principle 5. Feel your fullness. Listen for the body signals that tell you that you are no longer hungry. Observe the signs that show that you're comfortably full. Pause in the middle of a meal or a snack and ask yourself how the food tastes and what your current fullness level is. Jackie was a party girl. She loved to go out to eat with her friends every night after work, and felt that weekends were not complete without a party. Jackie loved life and loved to eat. But she also didn't know how to stop eating when she began to feel full. Rather, she often did not recognize feeling full until she was uncomfortably satiated, stuffed. The morning after each social event, she made the same vow. I never want to eat again. I feel sick and stuffed and bloated, and I hate this roll around my middle. Learning to feel fullness was a key element in Jackie's journey to intuitive eating. She began to pay attention to the transition from an empty stomach to a slightly full stomach. She soon learned to sense the signals of fullness that started to emerge in the midst of her meals. It was easier for Jackie to honor her body's satiety signals when she truly knew she could eat again if hungry, even within the hour, and eat her favorite foods. What starving person would stop at comfortable fullness if he thought he was never going to eat again or have access to a particular food? Jackie made an interesting observation while feeding alley cats during one of her out-of-town parties. The starving alley cat will eat until the bowl is licked clean. Unlike finicky cats, they know they will be fed again, so can easily turn up their tails and leave food in their dish. Finicky cats can honor fullness because they know they will eat again. Jackie also discovered that by honoring satiety signals and pushing her plate away when she was ready, she felt that she was showing more respect for herself. After becoming an intuitive eater, Jackie felt that she had it all. She could still go out with her friends whenever she liked, and she could wake up the next morning feeling great. Principle 6. Discover the satisfaction factor. The Japanese have the wisdom to keep pleasure as one of their goals of healthy living. In our fury to be thin and healthy, we often overlook one of the most basic gifts of existence, the pleasure and satisfaction that can be found in the eating experience. When you eat what you really want in an environment that is inviting, the pleasure you derive will be a powerful force in helping you feel satisfied and content. By providing this experience for yourself, you will find that it takes much less food to decide you've had enough. Denise is a production assistant who was surrounded by a variety of forbidden foods each day when she went to the set. Instead of giving herself permission to eat what she really wanted, she would ignore her preference signals. If she wanted French fries, she would nobly substitute an austere baked potato, unadorned. If cookies beckoned, she'd settle for fruit. Rather than stopping at her substitute food choice, however, she'd continue to seek out food after food, trying to find satisfaction in unsatisfying foods. Once Denise realized that all of these alternate food choices were only fillers, that none of them led her to feel satisfied, she decided to experiment and eat what she was craving. She was delighted to find that not only did she get true pleasure from the food, but also she stopped eating as soon as she finished the portion, sometimes even leaving some behind. She was satisfied, content, not needing to seek out yet another replacement for her phantom food. Denise discovered the satisfaction factor in eating. She eats far less than ever before, and has experienced the benefits of our motto, if you don't love it, don't eat it. And if you love it, savor it. Principle 7. Cope with your emotions without using food. Find ways to comfort, nurture, distract, and resolve your emotional issues without using food. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we all experience throughout life. Each has its own trigger, and each has its own appeasement. Food won't fix any of these feelings. It may comfort for the short term, distract from the pain, or even numb you into a food hangover. But food won't solve the problem. If anything, eating for an emotional hunger will only make you feel worse in the long run. You'll ultimately have to deal with the source of the emotion, as well as the discomfort of overeating. Marcia was a writer who did most of her work at home. She loved her work, but sometimes found that she would have mini periods of writer's block. To relieve her tension about finding the right word to put on the computer, she would visit the kitchen many times during the day to get a snack. Marcia was using food to help her get her work done. Lisa was a 14-year-old who would come home after school and plop herself down in front of the TV with a bag of potato chips. Lisa was using food to procrastinate doing her homework. Cynthia's children were grown. She had an illness that depleted her energy, not allowing her to go to work, and her husband didn't pay much attention to her. Cynthia found food to keep her occupied when she was bored and to soothe her lonely soul. Using food to cope with emotions comes in degrees of intensity. For some, food is simply a means of distraction from boring activities or a filler for empty times. For others, it can be the only comfort they have to get through a painful life. Before becoming intuitive eaters, Marcia, Lisa, and Cynthia were coping with the problems of their lives by using food as a distractor, comforter, and calmer. But they soon learned to savor the foods they had chosen, eat in an inviting environment, and honor their biological hungers. Increased gratifying eating experiences allowed each to let go of using food as a coping mechanism. These experiences also offered clarity. It was easier to distinguish an eating urge from an emotional urge. These women discovered that food never tasted as good or was as satisfying when they weren't really hungry, or hadn't figured out what they really wanted to eat, or bolted food down without respecting fullness. Marcia, Lisa, and Cynthia learned to cope without using food and to find appropriate outlets for their emotions. Now they save their eating for the times it gives them true satisfaction and eat far smaller quantities of food. Principle 8. Respect your body. Accept your genetic blueprint. Just as a person with a shoe size of 8 would not expect realistically to squeeze into a size 6, it is equally futile and uncomfortable to have a similar expectation about body size. Respect your body so you can feel better about who you are. It's hard to reject the diet mentality if you are unrealistic and overly critical of your body shape. One of the most important goals that Andrea made while working toward becoming an intuitive eater was to respect her body. She was 50 years old, had given birth to 4 children, and was a valuable member of the community. Her body had gotten her through childbirth, traveling, working, and exercise. It was a body to respect rather than belittle. Yet Andrea spent many of her waking hours criticizing her body and missing the days when she was younger and thinner. The more she made negative comments to herself, the more despair she felt. She would go to food when she wasn't hungry to console herself for her misery. She also found herself overeating as a way to punish herself for looking so bad. Once Andrea stopped comparing herself to every other woman she knew and started to respect and honor her body, she began to eat less and to take better care of herself. Andrea became an intuitive eater, took pride in her achievements, and stopped trying to have the perfect body. Janie, a 25-year-old publicist, also played the body check game. Every time she was at a party, she silently compared herself to other women, only to feel that she was the heaviest woman in attendance. Ironically, Janie had a very fit build, but felt mortified every time and would vow that night to begin a diet the next day. Only when Janie began to focus on respecting her body and its inner cues, rather than external forces, what other people look like, what other people are doing, did she make a significant breakthrough. Principle 9. Exercise. Feel the difference. Forget militant exercise. Just get active and feel the difference. Shift your focus to how it feels to move your body rather than the calorie-burning effect of exercise. If you focus on how you feel from working out, such as energized, It can make the difference between rolling out of bed for a brisk morning walk or hitting the snooze alarm. If, when you wake up, your only goal is to lose weight, it's usually not a motivating factor in that moment of time. Miranda had all the accoutrements of a regular exerciser, a membership in a gym, a stationary bike at home, athletic clothes and shoes. There was just one problem. She was not exercising. Miranda was burned out. She had tried almost as many new exercise programs as she had diets. It was a vicious cycle. Begin a diet and simultaneously begin working out, and then quit both the diet and the exercise. That was precisely the problem. Miranda never really felt the pleasure of exercise, of moving her body. Part of the problem was that when she was underfeeding her body, dieting, she had little energy, if any, to exercise, and that does not feel good. Consequently, exercising was always a struggle. It was only the initial enthusiasm and momentum of the diet that would carry her through a monotonous workout. But because dieting was short-lived, so too was exercise. When Miranda began feeding her body by honoring her hunger, she felt better and entertained the idea of beginning a walking program. She discovered that by reframing the purpose of exercise from a weight loss tool to feeling good, she began to actually enjoy walking. For the first time in her life, Miranda has consistently exercised and enjoys it. She also knows that she will continue to be consistent because she enjoys the payoff, which includes feeling better about herself. Principle 10. Honor your health. Gentle nutrition. Make food choices that honor your health and taste buds while making you feel good. Remember that you don't have to eat a perfect diet to be healthy. You will not suddenly get a nutrition deficiency or gain weight from one snack, one meal, or one day of eating. It's what you eat consistently over time that matters. Progress, not perfection, is what counts. Louise, like so many of our clients, had dieted all her life. She had been enlightened by the anti-dieting movement and was ahead of the game with a reject dieting mentality. But Louise had been meticulously counting fat grams like a dieter counting calories. In essence, she was still dieting. She was using nutritional information militantly to keep herself in check. Her food choices were primarily fat-free foods. They were safe and healthy, she reasoned. Yet Louise couldn't understand why she was still binging. When Louise realized that she was using nutrition as a dieting weapon, rather than as an ally for health, she began to change the way she chose her foods. Louise honored her taste buds and listened to her body with respect to how food made her feel. When Louise was finally able to relax her eating, to eat with less rigidity, she discovered that it was possible to honor both the pleasure of taste and her health. And by doing this, she was more satisfied with eating, and her binges ceased. A process with great rewards. All of the clients mentioned in the previous examples had been dissatisfied with their relationship with food and their bodies. Each had tried either formal or informal dieting and had felt failure and despair. By learning the principles of intuitive eating and putting them to work, each found a deepening of the quality of life and resolution about eating. You can too. Chapter 4. Awakening the Intuitive Eater. Stages. The journey to intuitive eating is like taking a cross-country hiking trip. Before you even strap on your hiking boots, you'd want to know what to expect during your journey. While a roadmap is helpful, it doesn't describe what you'll need to be adequately prepared, such as trail conditions, climate, special sightseeing spots, what kind of clothes to wear, and so forth. The purpose of this chapter is to help you understand what to expect during your journey to intuitive eating. Whether it's hiking or relearning a more satisfying eating style, you will go through many stages along the way. The amount of time that you need to stay in any particular stage is variable and highly individualized. For example, traversing new hiking trails depends on how physically fit you are, how you deal with fear of new trails, how much time you have to hike, and the availability of hiking trails. Similarly, your journey back to intuitive eating depends on how long you've been dieting, how strongly entrenched your diet thinking is, how long you've been using food to cope with life, how willing you are to trust yourself, and how willing you are to put weight loss on the back burner and learning to become an intuitive eater the primary goal. Sometimes you'll move back and forth among the stages. If you accept that this is a normal part of the process, it will help you to keep going without feeling that you are backsliding or not making progress. Consider this scenario. You are on a hiking trail and encounter a fork in the road that is hard to decipher with your trail map. Do you go to the right or left? You ponder for a while and decide to go left. While walking, you spot something you've never seen before, a bright green caterpillar shimmying up a purple flower. A few steps ahead, you discover an unusual bird. But a few steps beyond these glories of nature is a big boulder signaling that you chose the wrong path. You turn around, go back to the fork, and take the other path. Was this detour a waste of time? No. Similarly, on the path to intuitive eating, you will take many turns and experiment with new thoughts and behaviors. You may even find that after making noticeable progress, you go back to old ways that are uncomfortable and unfulfilling. But like taking the wrong path on the scenic hiking trail, you'll discover that excursions into old eating patterns can be used as learning experiences. Most hikers would not chide themselves for being unsure of which path to take. Instead, they'd be grateful for the discoveries of nature that a blocked path offered. It's important to be kind to yourself and appreciate the learning that comes out of the experience. This process involves coming from a place of curiosity rather than a place of judgment. So whatever you do, don't beat yourself up mentally. Intuitive eating is very different from dieting. Dieters usually get frustrated when they don't follow the diet path exactly as prescribed. We have seen many a chronic dieter merely take a wrong turn at one meal, be critical for that mistake, and blow the diet for that day or weekend or even longer. Keep in mind that the journey to intuitive eating is a process, complete with ups and downs. Unlike dieting, where the common expectation is linear progress, losing a certain amount of weight in a specific time period. The road to intuitive eating is like investing in a long-term mutual fund. Over time, there will be a return on the investment, in spite of the daily fluctuations of the stock market. It is normal and expected. How ironic that we have been taught that in economics, the day-to-day changes in the stock market are normal, and seldom is there a quick get-rich fix. Yet in the multi-billion dollar a year weight loss business, get thin fast is the only goal for success. We are invested instead in helping you bring peace to your eating life and body image. On the path to this goal, keep in mind Webster's definition of process, a continuing development involving many changes, and a particular method of doing something, generally involving a number of steps or operations. As with any process, it's important to stay focused in the present and grow from the many experiences you will encounter. If, however, you focus on the end result, which for many people is weight or the amount of pounds lost, it can make you feel overwhelmed and discouraged and end up sabotaging the process. Instead, if you acknowledge small changes along the way and value the learning experiences, which can sometimes be frustrating, it will help you stay on the intuitive eating path and move forward. Once you truly become an intuitive eater, you will consistently tune in to your inner wisdom, and you will feel better in mind, body, and spirit. At this point, we feel it is important to clarify the issue of the pursuit of weight loss. For some, your body will return to its natural weight level, which may be lower than your current weight, and remain there. To see if this applies to you, ask yourself the following questions. Have you routinely eaten beyond your comfortable fullness level? Do you routinely overeat when you're getting ready for your next diet, knowing that there will be a lot of foods you won't be allowed to eat on the diet? Do you overeat as a coping mechanism in difficult times or to fill up time when you're bored? Have you also been resistant to exercise? Do you only exercise when you are dieting? Do you skip meals or wait to eat until you're ravenously hungry, only to find that you overeat when you finally do eat? Do you feel guilty, either when you overeat or when you eat what you call a bad food, which results in more overeating? If you answered yes to some or all of these questions, then it's likely that your present weight may be higher than the weight your body is meant to maintain. It is also likely that you will be able to return to your natural, healthy weight as a result of this process. But remember, weight loss must be put on the back burner. If you focus on weight loss, it will interfere with your ability to make choices based on your intuitive signals. Once you've given up the futility of dieting forever, you'll find yourself eating far less food, with a desire to experience regular movement in your life. You'll find that your body feels so much better when your stomach isn't overfilled, when your muscles are toned, and your heart is fit. You will also find that as your thoughts about your eating and body begin to change, you will experience a more peaceful feeling, rather than the chronic background anxiety that looms with every food choice. However, if you continue to focus on weight loss as the goal, you'll get tied up in the old diet mentality thinking, which does not serve you. Over the years, we have seen that our patients go through a 5-stage progression in learning how to become an intuitive eater. The following section will help you get an idea of what to expect in your own personal journey. Stage 1. Readiness. Hitting diet bottom. This is where most people begin. You are painfully aware that every attempt to lose weight has ended in failure. You are tired of valuing each day based on whether the scale is up or down a pound or two, or if you overate the day before. You think and worry about food all the time. You talk the restrictive food talk. If only I didn't have to watch my weight, I could eat that, or I had 2 cookies. I was really bad today. At the present time, your weight might be higher than ever before. Or, while not greatly overweight, you lose and gain 5 or 10 pounds as frequently and rapidly as you wash your clothes, and they get dirty once again. You have lost touch with biological hunger and satiety signals. You have forgotten what you really like to eat, and instead eat what you think you should eat. Your relationship with food has developed a negative tone, and you dread eating the foods you love because you're afraid it will be hard to stop. When you give in to the temptation of forbidden foods, it's not unusual to overeat them because you feel guilty. Yet you sincerely vow you will never eat them again. It's not unusual to find that you eat to comfort, distract, or even numb yourself from your feelings. If that's the case, you will sense that the quality of your life has been clouded by obsessional thinking about food and by mindless eating. Your body image is negative. You don't like the way you look and feel in your body, and self-respect is lessened. You have learned from your own experience that dieting does not work. You have hit diet bottom and feel stuck, frustrated, and discouraged. This stage continues until you decide that you are unhappy eating and living this way. You are ready to do something about it. Your first thoughts may veer toward finding a new diet to solve your problems. But almost immediately you realize that you just can't do that one ever again. If this is where you find yourself, then you are ready for the process that will bring you back to eating intuitively. Stage 2. exploration, conscious learning, and pursuit of pleasure. This is a stage of exploration and discovery. You will go through a phase of hyperconsciousness to help reacquaint yourself with your intuitive signals, hunger, taste preferences, and satiety. This stage is a lot like learning how to drive a car. For the novice driver, just getting the car out of the driveway requires a lot of conscious thinking, complete with a mental checklist. Put the key in the ignition, make sure the gear is in park or neutral, turn on the engine, check the rearview mirror, remove the handbrake, and so forth. This hyperconsciousness is necessary to lock in all of the steps needed just to get that car into drive. In the same sense, you will be zooming in on details of eating that have evolved without such focused thinking. But this is necessary to reclaim the intuitive eater in you. It may seem awkward and uncomfortable, even obsessive. However, hyperconsciousness is different than obsessive thinking. Obsessive thinking is pervasive and is characterized by worry. It fills your mind during most of the day and keeps you from thinking of much else. Hyperconsciousness is more specific. It zooms in when you have a thought about food, but goes away when the eating experience is over. And just like the steps required to drive a car become autopilot for the experienced driver, intuitive eating will eventually be experienced without this initial awkwardness. You may feel that you are in a hyperconscious state much of the time during this stage. This may feel uncomfortable at first, and perhaps even strange. Remember, much of your previous eating was either mostly mindless or diet-directed. In this stage, you'll begin to make peace with food by giving yourself unconditional permission to eat. This part may feel scary, and you may choose to move slowly within your comfort level. You will learn to get rid of guilt-induced eating and begin to discover the importance of the satisfaction factor with food. The more satisfied you are when eating, the less you think about food when you are not hungry. You will no longer be on the prowl. You will experiment with foods that you may not have eaten for a long time. This includes sorting out your true food likes and dislikes. You may even discover that you don't like the taste of some of the foods you've been dreaming of. Keep in mind that years of dieting, or eating what you should, only serve to disconnect you from your internal eating drive and true food preferences. You will learn to honor your hunger and recognize your body signals that indicate the many degrees of hunger. You will learn to separate these biological signals from the emotional signals that might also trigger eating. In this stage, you may find that you are eating larger quantities of food than your body needs. It will be difficult to respect your fullness at this stage because you need time to experiment with the quantity it takes to satisfy a deprived palate. It also takes time for you to develop trust with food again and know that it's truly okay to eat. How can you honor fullness if you are not completely sure it's okay to eat the particular food, or if you fear it won't be there tomorrow? If you have previously been gaining weight, weight gain usually ceases or is limited to just a few pounds. If you have been using food emotionally, you may find that you will begin to feel your feelings and may experience discomfort, sadness, or even depression at times. The bulk of your eating may be foods that are heavier in fat and sugar than you've been accustomed to, although you may have been eating large quantities of these foods secretly or with guilt. The way you eat during this stage will not be the pattern that you will establish or want for a lifetime. You will notice that your nutritional balance is off kilter, and you may not feel physically on top of things during this time. This is all normal and expected. You must let yourself go through this stage for as long as you need. Remember, you are making up for years of deprivation, negative self-talk, and guilt. You are rebuilding positive food experiences like a strand of pearls. Each food experience, like each pearl, may seem insignificant. but collectively they make a difference. Stage 3, crystallization. In this stage, you will experience the first